His family die, he watched my au parents, you know? And it amazed me the other night when we were here, you know? I said, hey, so I'm seeing Brother David as a young man again. This is how he was. You know, and yesterday we spent the day and the things he's speaking of, you know, I said, it's amazing. So I'm seeing my friend, Brother David, in David Jr., you know? To me, it's amazing, but I said, hey, that is, it's the grace of God. And I thank God that I've been privileged in that way to spend some time and hear the words of wisdom from his son. You know, if God could continue to do that, and I wish more for all the others, you know. I wish I was saying, hey, I wonder if Brother David will make it to fellowship with Joshua like how I fellowshiped with his son. Because maybe our sons can't appreciate us, but they'll appreciate others. Amen. But may God keep that up and may that fire continue to grow. Amen.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Amen. Your face is all I see. Amen. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds. to me. I wanna take your word and shine your light. First let me just to leave it low. And when I'm doing well, help me never to the crown for my Lord. It's giving glory to you. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, please light the fire that just was burned and clean. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns before.
Oh, Oh, lift our hands and we sing to you, Lord.
We are here to
give. Oh, to give you, Lord.
The best that we can
bring. The best that we can bring. Bringing you our love.
Bringing you our love.
She also wants the Lord to provide him and her a good workplace. She wants the Lord to go to her father's heart and show him the right way. And also to help her mother to go through all things and to be healthy. That's a real desire before you. I also want to greet Jessica and Shiva, the daughter that's a classmate of Max. One request, we just remember Brother Matt, he's at work. And we don't have to greet Brother Tony, he's one of them. Let's open our Bibles before we pray. Let's read from 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's read from verse 22. It says, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, verse 23, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. I like the when and the then. He says, when this happens, then you do that. And friends, if we do that inside of our life, we have so many fewer troubles and heartaches, false starts and missteps. that we wouldn't do the then before the when.
Mm.
He says, when I do this for you, then you can do this. That's a real key. He says, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Let's read also Joshua chapter 1. Let's read the first 5 verses. Joshua chapter 1, I'm sure you're the same as me. You can never read it too many times.
That's right.
It's a real, real portion of scripture that we need to be part of our souls.
Amen.
Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So things were moving from one place to another. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake
thee. Amen.
Let's bow. Father, what a blessed promise. And Father, you've confirmed the time and time again.
Amen.
Father, Lord, as we walk with you, as we walk in you.
Hallelujah.
Father, there's nothing that can stand before us.
Amen.
So we thank you, Lord. Father, we know that you are the one.
Amen.
That has done these things, Lord. Amen. Father, we know the devil doesn't fear us, but he fears you.
Amen.
He fears you and your people. Father, he doesn't fear, Lord, flesh and blood. But Father, we thank you for this commission.
Amen.
We thank you for this grace. We thank you for this mercy.
Amen.
And Father, we bring ourselves before thee to pray that you'd lead us into this upon this day.
Amen.
Father, would you pray for our sister who's asked for prayer? Firstly, for her husband, Lord. Father, surely it's your perfect will.
Amen.
For, Lord, a husband and a wife to be together.
Amen.
So, Lord, I do ask for you, even as she's looking unto you, she's bringing a request before you, that you would open up the way, that you'd open up that door. Father, that you'd bless her, that you'd bless her family. I pray for her father. Lord, you know the need that he has of you. Father, you are the only one that can change the life of a person. You're the only one, Father, you're the only one that has the power of deliverance. To deliver us from the kingdom of darkness and to bring us into the kingdom of light. So we're asking of you, Lord, because of the faith of your daughter, that Father, you would move on his behalf. And Lord, even our sister for her life, for the life of her mother, Lord, Father, she's looking unto you. Father, she's applying the token upon this day. She's taking the blood of the word, Father, the blood of, Lord, thine power and grace. And she's wanting to apply it over the entire whole. Surely, Lord, Father, we have confidence that you will respect that, Lord. Let things start moving now. Father, let kingdoms start to fall. Let your kingdom be established, Lord. Father, Lord, let doors start to open. Father, let your will be done on earth. We pray. Father, we pray for Brother Matt at work. That you bless him. Father, be with him. Lord, prosper him, we pray. Father, make his name great. May he be blessed and he may be a blessing. Father, we pray for Brother Max as well away. May you bless him. Father, watch over him in Italy, Lord. Prosper him and his business. Bring him safely back, we pray. Would you pray for the visitors in our gates, a special portion for them? That, Father, this may be the day. That, Father, they may be able to say, happy day. Happy day. That's our desire. Father, won't you be with us in our fellowship upon this day? Guide us aright, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for giving us another opportunity, Lord, to gather as your people.
Amen.
Father, be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Saints, let's be seated in Jesus' name. Let's have a look at this thought. We wanted to look at the Joshua Commission, but we're going to maybe divert a little bit today. But that's our thought, is the Joshua Commission. Last week, we were looking at spiritual authority. Now, our authority is directly tied together to our commission.
Amen.
You know, if we could really, really realize what our commission is, We'd realize what our authority is. And as you walk in your commission, that's where your authority comes in. So we wanted to have a look at this threefold commission that's been given to us in the end time. So the first thing is there's the Joshua commission. We'll just cover that briefly. We don't want to get much into that. But we cannot find our commission until first we understand the Joshua commission. Because we have no commission at all. Our commission is under the Joshua commission. And if we understand the Joshua commission, we find ourselves there. Then secondly, once we understand the Joshua commission, we can now start looking at our own individual commissions. Because every single one of us has a commission. Every single one has a calling and a purpose and a commission. So we need to find our individual places under the Joshua commission. And then finally, we want to just look at the general commission. You know, there's the general commission. You know, first of all, there's the Great Commission, which is to every believer. Now, each of us have a specific commission, but also there's the general commission, which is to the entire body of Christ. You want to just look at certain parts of that general commission as well. So there's three things you want to cover if the Lord would give us grace, and I think it would maybe help us just to move things along a little bit. Now, in Joshua, we've just read Joshua chapter 1, and a few things have been said under the Joshua commission. This was the commission that was given to Joshua when things had moved from... In the Exodus, the first part of the Exodus was over. The people had been called out. So Moses, the ministry of Moses, was used to call the people out. And we know when in Switzerland, the brothers were preaching so well about it, about how the prophet came, firstly under the commission of Moses, the two signs that he was given, like Moses was given two signs. The prophet came to call an exodus. He came to call the bride out of the church. In the days of Moses, the first exodus was calling a nation out of a nation. Then in the days of Paul, when the pillar of fire returned, it was the second exodus. It was calling now the church out of a nation. It was calling the church, the book of Acts, out of the people of Israel. And then finally, with the return of the pillar of fire once again in our age, it's now calling the bride out of the church. So it's a continuing exodus which is taking place. And each of these things are fulfilled under the Joshua commission. You know, so Moses first, that commission of Moses, bring them out. But then you don't want to just bring people out and let them wander in the wilderness. You'll find there's a lot of ministries out there these days that can bring people out, but they can't take them in. And that's the problem. You know, they bring people out to the wilderness, and then what? What from there? You've got to have somebody who knows the roadmap from there. You've got to have somebody who understands the boundaries of your inheritance after there. You've got to have somebody who understands the purpose of why people have been called out. And that's what the Joshua Commission is. Because once Moses died now, the same as in the prophet's ministry, after the first and second pull, there came the third pull. There came now the Joshua Commission, where he had to step now into the commission as being Joshua. Yeah, we know that the real Joshua is Christ. That the Amen. Real Joshua is the captain of the host of the Lord.
Amen.
The real Joshua is the Logos. And he's the real Joshua, but God is in partnership with man, so he does nothing outside of man. So God uses a man, commissions a man, and then uses him in that commission. And in our age, God sent one man to fulfill the fullness of that portion of the Joshua commission.
Amen.
He came now, and as we see, as we read it in Joshua 1, verse 2, when it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, this people, to a land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So there was a very specific inheritance that they had been given. And they were now, the Joshua commission was a commission to lead the people to their inheritance. And every person had a different inheritance. You know, the Levites had the temple. We know that Gad had his inheritance. Ephraim had his inheritance. Benjamin had his inheritance. Judah had his inheritance. The prophet speaks of it so well in adoption. There's some were to raise corn, some were to raise wheat, some were the work of the ministry. Now, there's diverse ministries in the body of Christ. You know, but under the Joshua commission, Joshua was to take them into the land. And Joshua types the great end time move, the great end time unction that God has given under the message of the hour to place people in the inheritance. So every single person who came out with Moses, yeah, and every single person who went in with Joshua had a specific inheritance, which was their right, their legal entitlement. through the grace of God, through the power of redemption, the redemption through power, redemption through the blood, to bring them now to an inheritance. And friends, if we're not in our inheritance, if we're not possessing our land, we're falling short of the whole purpose of what this world is all about. What good was it for Moses to come and show those great signs down Egypt? What good was it for the Lord to open the Red Sea? What good was it for him to feed them in the wilderness with manna? What good was it for him to deliver them and give them water out of the rock if the end of it all is they didn't possess their own individual inheritance? And that was a very practical inheritance. They would build their homes. They would possess their own property. They would know their own boundaries. They would know that my inheritance grows from here to there. You know, every single one of them knew under the Joshua Commission exactly which portion of the inheritance was theirs and what they were to do in that inheritance, what they were to raise, what they were to do. And friends, it's got to be like that with each and every one of us. Amen. We've got to know, like the song says, who we are. We've Amen. Got to know what we're raised up for. Amen. We don't want to just be guessing at these things. Amen. We want to be presuming. Venture without authority, but we want to make sure that in this great move, as things come to an end at the end time, that we possess our individual inheritance. But we need to understand, first of all, the Joshua Commission. So Joshua was given that commission to place everybody in the promised land, every single one. And then the Lord in verse 4 showed the clear boundaries of the Joshua Commission. And verse 4 says, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards going down of the sun shall be your coast. Amen. So friend, I don't think we realize the privilege of having a prophet. I don't think we do. Because we are the only people who understand the boundaries, bro. Right? We're the only people. We're the only people who understand what God has perfectly in his mind. Amen. We're the only ones who know what is our inheritance. Amen. Some people read the book of Revelation, they have no understanding what it means. Yes. No, they try to say there's going to be this great big revival and they misplace the scriptures. Amen. They take what God is going to do for the Jews and they think he's going to do it for us.
No.
You know why that is? Because they don't understand the math.
Amen.
They don't understand the boundaries of the inheritance that has been given to us. Because it was only Joshua who was given the boundaries. So there were other nations round and about when they came out in the book of Deuteronomy and they're about to go into the land. The Lord told them, don't go by the way of Mount Seir. I've given that now to the Edomites. And don't go to the children of Moab. I've given them their inheritance. So other people had their portion. But the children of Israel, they had the portion. They had the real portion, which was the promised land. So we're not saying that other people don't have some kind of inheritance, some kind of a portion. But friends, the land of milk and honey, which God called his land, that was reserved for the covenant people. And unless you are under the Joshua Commission, you have no inheritance in that land. It's always like that. And in that inheritance, there's so many things that come with it. And where we're getting back to once again is Revelation 10. Yes, the angel with the book in his hand. That's Joshua. That's our great Joshua coming down with our inheritance. There's the title deed to our inheritance in his hand. And he's going to break those seals and he's going to reveal the mystery of redemption. And it's up to you and I to see ourselves under that seal. For us to see ourselves under the Joshua Commission so that we know within these great boundaries of the message of the hour, which has set these things up, that we find our place, that we find our position in that land, knowing these boundaries that have been given to us. Somebody said it the other day, I liked it. They said, you know, some people left the message and said, there's too many rules and regulations. It was like being behind prison walls. And that person said, that's amazing. It says, because when you're elected and you're in the spirit, it's not prison walls, they're castle walls. That's fortifying. That's to keep you from danger. It just depends on what spirit you're in. If you backslid that heart, you will look at the requirements of the world.
Yes.
Even dress code. A woman shouldn't dress in clothes that pertain to a man. A man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing. Paul says a woman should dress in modest apparel. Those kind of things to a person who's really not in the Joshua Commission, not in the spirit of it, Those things are a burden to them. But to the daughters of God, those things aren't a burden. Those things are a deliverance. You should realize wearing tight clothes leads you into temptation. That leads you now to break the scriptures and puts you into all manner of situations you wouldn't really want to be in. So you realize when the scripture speaks of modesty, it's castle walls. It's not prison walls. But it just depends on what spirit that you're in. So this inheritance had to be clearly defined. And you'll find that in Paradox, when the prophet had that vision, I think Brother Eddie will speak a little bit about the serpent, the mother and that, but coming down now to the Jordan, the prophet was on the map of Palestine. This was right at the time that he entered the Joshua Commission. But he was shown the entire map. He could divide things properly. And friends, the sense was the brothers were preaching in Switzerland that so many people don't even understand 144,000.
Yes, sir.
So many people don't understand the first three. They think that there's going to be some great 144,000 evangelists come in the tribulation period and reprepare. Friends, you don't understand the boundaries. You don't understand the boundaries of things. Some people think the beast is some political man is going to come. Hey, but the beast, the Antichrist, has never been political. It's always been religious. It's going to be so close to the elect and will deceive them if it were possible. It's a man who's seated on seven hills. He's dressed in scarlet. That's the color of the Vatican. The seven hills of Rome. It's washed with the blood of the saints. What system has destroyed the saints through the ages? Just the Roman system. That's the only one. To whom the kings of the earth bow down. Who goes down and bows down and kisses his ring? All these leaders. Look, Trump's going to see him next week.
That's right.
Who's going? He's going to bow down and kiss his ring. That's what you have to do. Revelation 17 shows clearly who the beast is. Luther believed that. Wesley believed that. Moody believed that. The people at Azusa Street believed it. 100 years ago, people believed it, but the devil is very cunning now. Because unless you can recognize your enemy, you're never going to overcome it. And there's an ecumenical movement. Instead of realizing this is the Antichrist, the people now join together with that system. Friends, if you don't know the boundaries, if you don't have the Joshua Commission to show you clearly the boundaries of things, you're going to be lost.
That's right.
You're going to be sheep without a shepherd. You won't even know what's yours and what belongs to the enemy. The enemy will tell you that's for you and it's not. Friends, we needed the Joshua Commission. You don't realize how much that is true. Brother Vlad was saying it that day, we said it on Wednesday when he went to that place last week and you go and you find that people are running without a message. People don't have a message. You ask him, what do you really believe? What do you really stand for? You know, the only thing churches stand for these days is financial blessings. That's all that it is. That's all they'll focus on. God wants to bless you, God, and God does want to bless you. Obviously, He does. But friends, you think that's the most important thing in the back part of God's mind? No. The most important thing, He wants you to have your inheritance. Amen. He wants to manifest through you. Amen. He wants you to be in your possession. Amen. He wants Christ to be glorified in you. Amen. He wants you to fulfill your call.
Amen.
He wants you to know your boundaries and then possess your land.
Amen.
And be what you are supposed to be. Amen. In the inheritance that He has for His people in this age.
Amen.
And friends, it's a serious thing and it's a very, very important thing. We have to know those boundaries. And it was only given to Joshua. And then Joshua came and he revealed that to the people. And then each of the people now, when that was unveiled in that age, the entire boundaries of the promised land, then the Lord now could divide them under Joshua to the individual locations, the individual places that they needed to go. And every single one of us needs to find that place. We have to find it. This is what the prophet speaks about. As we get on to your individual commission. Because under the Joshua Commission, we need to find our individual commission.
Amen.
He says, Moses, being born with this great gift, this is in why Christ speak, with this great gift of faith, then he was anointed and commissioned at the burning bush to deliver God's people.
Amen.
So, he was born with a gift, then in due season, he was anointed and he was commissioned for specific purpose on behalf of the children of God. Oh my. Then he says, now we see what great qualities this man had. He was born for a certain thing. God had a purpose in it. God's got a purpose of you being here.
Amen. Amen.
See, if you could only get to that place, how much trouble you save God and yourself to.
Amen.
And friends, that's the key. Because like he shows us in adoption, the promise, everybody wants to do one thing. Everybody sees that something's popular, let's all go and do the same thing. Oh, no, there's diversities of gifts, diversities of ministration, diversities of operations of the Spirit. There's so many different places that God wants to place his people, so many different functions that people need to play under the Joshua Commission. And each one will work together to edify the body. You'll find your place. When you're not in your place, the problem is you're in somebody else's place.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're getting in the way of somebody else. Sometimes you're hindering another person from being where they're supposed to
be.
Because you're in their position. That's why the prophet says, if you can find your purpose and your place, you do God a favor and you help yourself too.
Amen.
Yeah, I remember once Brother Ronnie Peterson preaching about Moses. When he was up in Exodus 17 on the mountain, his arms got tired. And there was Aaron and Hur lifting up his hands. And then down in the valley, there was Joshua who was fighting the battles of the Lord. And Brother Ronnie Peterson, he called the message, hands up, hands under, and hands on.
Amen.
And he says, there's three categories of people. Not everyone's called to the same thing. There's the ministry. They've got to have their hands up.
Amen.
And as long as Moses had his hands up, the children of Israel prospered. But his hands started to get touched. You need the hands under people. You need the people that can support the ministry.
Amen.
So when the arms are getting tired, they lift their arms up as well. Then you need the hands on people. Joshua with a sword fighting the battle, drowning in the valley. And every person can find themselves in those kind of
characters.
But everybody has a place. And that place is just as important as the other person's place.
Amen.
And if you're not in your position, the whole body feels it. The whole body starts to suffer. You find if the song leader's not there. We have a hard time. Yeah?
Amen.
You find if there's so many different ministries in the position. You find if the mother's not at home. It's never the same.
Hallelujah.
As at all. It's not the same. The things don't move and work the way they should. The diet becomes a little bit repetitive. It's not the same as when the mother's at home. So there's these different types of commissions and callings that we have.
Amen.
Now, the key to this now, if you think what a commission is a warrant that is granted. That grants the power to perform various acts or duties.
Amen.
So your power, your authority goes together with your commission.
Amen.
Because the power is given so you can fulfill your commission.
Amen.
That's the aim of the power. Mm. That's the aim that the divine resources are given to you. Not so you can play around with it and show that you're somebody great.
No.
But there's a commission that you're called to fulfill. And that's why you need to know your commission. Because when you're walking in your commission, let me say this to you, a person walking in the commission is as omnipotent as God is omnipotent.
Amen.
A person in their commission, heavens and earth back up that person.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what the devil does.
Hallelujah.
If you're in your commission and you know you're in your commission, all the power of the one who commissioned you, that's where you will find your spiritual authority. You will find your authority when you find your commission. That's what you've got to do now. A commission also means the authority to act for or on behalf of another. That's our commission.
Amen.
We're acting for him.
Yes, sir.
We're not here today for ourselves. I'm not standing here today for myself. I'm standing here on behalf of him. And you in your calling, you in your position in the body, you are there to represent Christ, our great Joshua. And if you are walking in that commission, my friend, the devil fears.
Amen.
And the greatest thing that he fears is a person in that commission. If he can just move you from that commission and put you in somebody else's commission, or discourage you in your commission, they will get you not to take your commission seriously. That's what he's going to aim to do. But when a person is walking sincerely and faithfully, by faith in their commission, there's nothing can stop that person. Like Brother Max prayed last week, when Joshua needed the sun to stand still, he was fulfilling his commission. He needed full light. So he just hit a channel. Sun stands still, the sun stood still. And the Bible says there wasn't a day like that Amen. God hearkened to the voice of a man. That's the part of the condition.
Hallelujah.
God hearkened to the voice of a man. Because the man was so faithful in representing as God. So when he said, God, I need something, God says, no problem, and he gave me what I needed. That's the power of walking in your commission, finding your position and staying in it, and being sincere in your commission. So all this authority, all this power, it's determined by the commission. And for Jack and Joshua in Revelation 10, verse 1, he's got the commission. He's got the book, the unsealed book. And you and I find ourselves under those seals. You and I find ourselves when we see the great, recognize our day, we recognize our message. The next thing we find ourselves in this. And that's when life starts to change. That's when life starts to have a purpose. That's when you have a vision in your life. Because you understand the roadmap. You know where you are. You can see where he wants you to be. You know, I'm not there yet, but I'm not where I used to be.
Amen.
That's encouraging, friends. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish.
Amen.
You've got to have a vision. That's got to be an individual vision.
Amen.
And an individual vision will feed into the vision of the church. The vision of the church will feed into the great Joshua condition.
Amen.
The vision that God had for his end time people. That's the Joshua condition. So we've got to really come down as individuals to this. So he says, in the message, confirmation of the commission. Now this is the key. I have a lot of chat going on with some of the young people at the moment about ministry, calling and commission. It's very good to see young people wanting to do something for the Lord and asking a lot of questions about their calling, a lot of questions about what they can do for the Lord. That's why I thought maybe not to go so much on the Joshua commission today, but to look more at the individual commission, which fits under the individual commission. But this is a key. The prophet speaks, even the type of the message, the confirmation of the commission.
Amen.
If God isn't confirming your commission, you're not in your commission. God has to confirm. If you're in the right place, God is going to confirm that you're in the right place. Now, that's one of the real keys to knowing that you're there in your commission. He says, if a man is commissioned by the supernatural God, the supernatural power of God will be with that supernatural commission.
Amen.
It's true. In whatever calling that you've got, it might not be so. Moses was called to minister of deliverance. Therefore, the power of God manifests itself down the line of deliverance. You might have another kind of a ministry. You might have a commission of intercession, of prayer. And you will find that there's a confirmation of that because you can pray all night.
Amen. Amen.
Other people will try to pray all night, they can't pray all night. But surely that's a confirmation of something.
Right.
When God empowers you to do something that other people aren't able to do,
that's right.
Why is God doing that? Surely there's a lesson in that. Surely God is trying to prove to you by the confirmation of something, he's trying to reveal to you what your commission is.
Amen.
You know, so we'll see it as the prophet gets into speaking about how you find your calling. This is a key part of your calling, friends.
Amen.
No matter how much you want to do something, no matter how much you think something's right, but if God doesn't confirm it, if there's no confirmation, you're not in a divine commission. Because under the Joshua commission, he always confirms his commission.
Amen.
He will. The prophet says, the supernatural power of God will be with that supernatural commission. Then he speaks in the message, Faith of Abraham. He says, if somebody came to the temple and they dreamed a dream, and you want to know if that dream was from God, or a person had a vision, and you want to know if that vision came from God, he says, it might have sounded pretty good. You see, he might have said, that was a real powerful dream I had last night.
Yes.
Then that's okay, come to the temple, come to the priest, come to the Urim and Thummim. And stand up and speak that dream.
Hallelujah!
In the presence of the Urim and Thummim. And he says, they took them up to the Urim and Thummim. Then they told the dream of the prophecy. And if that conglomeration of lights. You know, it was those stones which they kept, I think, below the breastplate of the high priest. They would take out those stones. And then he would speak. And if God was in it, there would be a supernatural light flashing those stones.
Hallelujah.
And be a confirmation that really came from God. He says, like a rainbow flashing. Supernatural. Showing that God received. There was like a covenant, something that kicked in at that stage. When you went, And you want to know, is this God or is this not? Mm. And that's what it's going to be. If you're trying to search out and find your position in Christ, friend, there's got to be the flashing of the supernatural light.
Yes, sir.
There's got to be something that takes place.
Amen.
If it's just you, it's not a call mission. It's your mission.
Yes, sir.
Because a call mission, call means partnership.
That's right.
It's a mission between you and God in partnership. So if he's in partnership with you, but it's not just going to be the natural unfolding itself.
Yes,
there's got to be some supernatural unfolding in itself.
Yeah.
To fit in with whatever calling that you're called to be. Mm. If you're called to be an evangelist, God's going to quicken your words.
Yeah.
The power of God, the supernatural, is going to deepen your testify. Mm. And you're going to see the fruits. You're going to see people come to Christ.
That's
if
right.
People don't come to Christ, if you claim to be an evangelist, the Urim and Thummim saying something different.
That's right.
You think you're an evangelist, but a tree is not by its fruits.
Yes, sir. Hey,
man.
Whatever the life is, they should manifest itself. It has to bring forth the fruit of what you're claiming that life is, trying to manifest itself inside of you. So these things, they take care of themselves.
Mm.
That's how the prophet so many times says it. Don't go seeking after gifts.
Mm.
Don't go seeking after
gifts.
You just see what God has put in your hand now.
Amen.
Whatever opportunity gives you now, you do it with all your heart.
Amen.
And God will bring to you whatever you need.
Hallelujah.
God knows how to take these people into the right position. If God guided your footsteps when you were a heathen, idol worshiper like all of us, worshiping the idols of Hollywood, worshiping the idols of the sports world, and all these idols that you're worshiping. Yeah. Under the power and control of the devil. But even in that condition, God guided your footsteps.
Hallelujah.
To the right place at the right time. To speak to the right person.
Amen.
And then brought transformation inside of your life. That brought you to the kingdom of God. While yet we're in darkness, God was guiding our footsteps. Now, when you're trying to walk sincerely before the Lord, he's not even more than able to guide your footsteps.
Amen.
To guide and lead you to what you're supposed to be. Don't manufacture anything. Don't try to make yourself anything.
No.
Let God lead you to what you're supposed
to
be. He has to open the way.
Amen.
And friend, he has commissioned you to something. The Bible says there's not enough devils in hell
to stop
to stop it from coming to pass. Because that's a manifestation of God.
Amen.
Is your commission. God wants to reveal himself, wants to manifest himself. So we've got to make sure that whatever we claiming as our inheritance, we need God to associate himself with that as well.
Amen.
We need God to say amen to what we say.
Amen.
Otherwise, we're presuming. We don't have any confidence in what we're
yes, sir.
And that's why the message shows us our boundaries so well. The scripture, Paul shows us, a woman shouldn't preach.
Yeah.
Yes, that's scripture. Amen. That's the boundaries that Paul said. People will say, but no, we're all this, we're one in Christ. It's true. As believers,
amen.
A woman can prophesy, a woman can speak in tongues, a woman can, all men of the nine spiritual gifts, but a woman, Paul says, cannot have authority over a man. And that's why right to the Old Testament, the shadows and the types, the temple, there was never a woman priest.
Amen.
You could have woman prophets. Yes, women can prophesy. But in the administration of the house of God, yeah? In the order that God set in the first Exodus, which Paul brings into the second Exodus, and the prophet confirms in the third Exodus. Friends, women have a wonderful scope in the Trinity.
Mm.
We can't have children as men.
Mm.
That's why I wonder, but why do women want to be like men? We can't be like women.
Amen.
It's a sacred something that a woman can bring for the life into the world.
Amen.
That a woman's given a nature and a makeup, she can nurture a child.
Amen.
A baby like that and raise it up to be something in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
A woman has a great, great
spirit
to express something that you and I can't express.
Amen.
Don't you find the devil wants to pervert things? He wants to make men like women in the sect. He wants to make women like men. No, stay the way that
Amen.
God
Amen.
God can only bless you the way that he made you.
Amen.
He made you that way for a specific purpose. Don't try to be like somebody else.
No.
Friends, our church can't be like somebody else.
No.
We can't say they worship like this somewhere, so we need to worship. No. This is a unique blend of people.
Yeah.
There's different cultures, different backgrounds of people.
Yeah.
And God do what he wants to do. That's why we assess ourselves by other people and say, we have to do this. No. Yeah, I can't look at myself and say, hey, Brother Tommy's got a loud voice. He doesn't need a microphone. No, he's so good at preaching that gospel of faith. Or Brother Crosby. I can't look at that and then say, I want to be like them. No, I'm not made like them.
Right.
My fingerprints are different than yours. I'm not made the way they made. I just got to try to be myself.
Hallelujah.
And if I'm just a half dollar and somebody else is a dollar, like the
yes,
just a nickel or a dime, that's fine. That's what God has made me for.
Amen.
At the end, we all receive the grace of God.
Amen.
Let's just be what we're supposed to be. Let's not try to be like other people. No, we can, yes, we can get inspiration from other people. We can learn good things from other people. But friends, we are unique. This church has a unique fingerprint just as much as the other church has a unique fingerprint. We all do it in different ways. But in all of these things, when we're seeking to find our place in the Joshua Commission, we need the Lord to do more. That's why I read the scripture about the moment. David wanted to do something, give us a mission.
That's right.
But he wanted to know, is this the time? And the Lord said it to him. Let's read that scripture. I like the way that it actually speaks about it. In verse 24, 2 Samuel 5, verse 24. David, now this is how the Lord instructs him. And this is very good for us as we seek to get deeper and deeper into our individual prayer. The Lord said in verse 24, let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mountain. That was a supernatural something that had to take place. That's that same whirlwind that came down to the prophet and the prophet.
Yeah.
The same one that came and spoke to Job is the same one that had to go before David, before he could have confidence to
him.
So the Lord said, you wait. I have to go before you. And then thou shalt bestir thyself. Now there's a good principle there. Wait, but when he goes before, now you move.
Amen.
Now you respond. Don't wait too long. When you see the Lord's opening something for you, he's giving you an opportunity to do something, do it with all your heart.
Amen.
Throw your body, your mind, your soul into that thing. There's no need to wait anymore.
No.
Once you hear the sound, once there's a vindication that he's gone before you, right. Do it with all your heart. Don't wait. Don't look back. Don't think too much about it. You bestir yourself at that time.
Amen.
For then shall the Lord go out before you to smite the host of
God. Amen.
And the key to David's success, verse 25, and David did so. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou comest to Geba. There's a real key here for us. When God moves, respond. Whenever he is moving, remember people would come in the prayer line, and then the pillar of fire would go and overshadow somebody.
That's right.
And the spirit of the Lord would call somebody else, and the person wouldn't respond. And the pillar of fire would then move on to the next person. That person wouldn't receive what was potentially theirs at that time. But when you find now, he's doing something, you do something.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll get on to that at the end of this speaking the general commission, because there's many ways that you can apply that. But when the angel is troubling the water, don't wait. Step in. Because you'll find the supernatural element is there for that season.
Amen.
And you can step in at that time and you can benefit from that supernatural at that season. But if you wait for too long, the prophet says an angel will go back once again. Once the virtue has gone away, he'd go back up once again into the presence of God. You find that that presence wasn't there for you. And that's the key. We don't want to go before him, but when he moves, we
amen.
We don't want to just throw everything.
Hallelujah.
Because that's the way we're going to succeed in this. Now, concerning what God wants you to do, the question, I'll read this question once again. How does one know their rightful position in the body of Christ? How does one know their rightful position in the body of Christ? He says, that's a good one. That would be the kind of question among many of us tonight. How do you rightfully know? Now, I'm presuming this brother wants to know, what position, what in Christ, what part of Christ do I take? What part of the body of Christ? What part of the manifestation of Christ do I play? Then I'm going to the whole thing we've gone through many times. He says now, to give you the best answer I know, Your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Then he shows a few ways. Is this the Holy Spirit revealing it to you? I've already shown one way. I mean, if he's revealed something to you, he's going to confirm it.
Amen.
If he commissions, he's going to confirm your commission. If you say the Lord revealed to me I'm supposed to do this, and he never confirms it. You say, I want to be a preacher. Yeah? First thing which you'll have a look at is, okay, when you gather together with other people and you start speaking to them, there's something supernatural take place. Can people discern in you that there's something different in this person's life? It doesn't start big. I mean, if there's something inside of somebody, David, who was called to be a deliverer, there was a lion in a bed.
That's right.
Just in his everyday course of events, there's a confirmation, strange when he was young. Just in his normal way of doing things, he did things that other people couldn't do.
That's right.
He killed a lion in a bed.
Amen.
How many shepherds killed a lion in a bed? Many. You know, so if you wanted to know, what is this young man called to do? I want you to see the way that God was using him, even in his youth. Even in simplicity. You will find if somebody's called to preach, when they gather together with other people, it'll just become natural after what other people listen far more to them than to other people.
Amen.
Because a gift is something which God puts gifts in you. You'll find there'll be something expressing itself. And people will realize that. That when this brother sits and talks, there's something different about the way that they speak. The prophet says, if you claim you to be a teacher and you can't put your scriptures together, if you start speaking and people get all confused, that's a sure sign that God hasn't called you to teach.
That's right.
Amen.
The example of Brother Rock. Brother Rock up in the north. He's so powerful as an evangelist on the street. God so anoints and uses the man, but put the man in the pulpit. Everyone gets confused. No one can understand. You'll find it's a person who'll start speaking, and then in the end they get so far speaking they forget what you started speaking about in the beginning. Yeah, it's just the kind of person that they are. Now, if that person thinks, you know, God has called me now to be someone to stand in the pulpit, you know, to unfold the mysteries of the kingdom. No. That God's not confirming your commission by even the simple ability to be able to do something.
That's right.
It doesn't fit together. So it's got to come together. He says that. If you want to know whether it's the Holy Spirit or not, find out whether He blesses what you do. If you really feel, I think God's called me to be a Sunday school teacher, which is a blessed calling.
Amen.
A sister can be a Sunday school teacher just as much as a brother. God can so use that person. But you know, if you find the children come away from the Sunday school and you ask for this, what was taught in Sunday school, and none of them can even remember what was taught at the Sunday school, I don't know if the person's perfectly yet in their position. Surely, if there's some ministration, if a person's moving into some position, then the Holy Ghost is going to bless what you do. If you're yielding yourself, there's going to be some blessing of the Holy Ghost on what He's done. Yeah, He's given us two simple things. He says, it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. He says, you'll know it's the Holy Spirit because He'll bless you in doing it. Now, when He's speaking about blessing you, He confirms it on by saying, but then the thing to do, your position is usually known whether you can do it or not. And like I've said so many times,
amen.
Whether we can do it or not, we're not the right people to make that judgment.
Yes, sir. The people.
It's the people we should be ministering to. They're the ones who are the only ones who can make the judgment whether you can do it or not. Because everybody feels they can do a good job. Like I said, when Brother Billy had the opening of his church those years back, and the one brother came from, he preached, he got so in the spirit, he sweated, he enjoyed himself. And at the end of the service, all of us are scratching again. Say, what would he actually say? And Brother George couldn't sit his wife in the car after saying, don't ask me about what he was preaching because I can't answer. But honestly, the brother who preached, he really thought he had preached the blessing. Because he enjoyed it himself. And that's not the key to a commission.
That's right.
A commission's not supposed to be for me. I'm not supposed to feel good about it. It's supposed to edify. It's supposed to minister to the body of Christ. There's supposed to be a supernatural flash in the neurophone of the body of Christ. There's supposed to be something that resonates inside of the soul. Something that moves in the heart of a person. If you say, I think the Lord called me to be an evangelist, go on the street and see it.
Amen.
Because if God called you, you prayed up and you yielded to the Lord, When you speak, it's a condition. It's you and God together.
Yes, sir.
He's going to quicken you. He's going to direct your words to smite you straight, to speak straight to the heart of a person you've never met before. And that person's going to say to you, but my, how did you know those things? Mm. Or that person's going to say, please, I want to know this Jesus.
Amen.
Please, are you one of the evangelists? You've never led one person to Christ in all your life.
Mm.
Doesn't make sense, friends. No matter how much you may feel as an evangelist, but if you've never seen the confirmation of the commission, even in a small way, because things start small and then get bigger and bigger. God adds gifts. The Bible says it doesn't take them away. If you'll remain humble, the Bible will start to get greater and greater and greater. But it's got to start from somewhere.
Amen.
It's got to start from somewhere.
Amen.
You find someone giving to prayer. You find Brother George coming to the saints for prayer on a Friday night. That's a blessing, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a blessing. Someone is given to pray. Who's not there to say, I'm going to preach to all these people. And someone is just there to say, let's listen to the prophet, let's pray. And then you bring the needs of the church, you bring the needs of the saints. You
are
friends.
Amen.
That's ministry in itself.
That's right.
It's not a glamorous ministry that everyone's going to pat you on the back and say, hey, that was so good, but what you did. But that is such an important ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Remember we saw Father Nash in the ministry of Charles Finney. And Charles Finney accounted his success as an evangelist not to his preaching but to the prayers of Nash.
Amen.
That's what generated the power.
That's right.
And that time that we spoke about the people coming to Spurgeon's tabernacle to visit them, because some saints from America. And they came and there was this man at the door, and the man greeted them and said, okay, what have you come? He said, no, we've come to the tabernacle, we wanted to come for service. He said, would you like me to show you the power of this church?
Mm-hmm.
And the man took them down the stairs to the boiler room.
Amen.
And hundreds of people.
Amen.
All their faces before God.
Amen.
And that man said to them, this is the power of
the
church.
Amen.
And the founder of it was Spurgeon himself. He was the one who took them there. And they did in Spurgeon's church. People would go down and pray.
Amen.
And intercede in that room. Sometimes for long periods of time before the service. But there is such a necessary ministry.
Amen.
That's not a ministry that's glamorous to the flesh. That's for the church to be dead to the flesh.
Amen.
But friend, when you get there for the great reward, there's going to be people who you would think were last, they're going to be first.
Amen.
They're going to receive a greater reward than many people who think that they've done great things for God. Because you'll find out the prophet says, where's the power in my ministry? People say, Robert, how can you go through this?
Hallelujah.
And not go down. He says the key to it is these brothers here, Brother Leo and then Brother Gene, Brother Pat Tyler, that lay on their faces fasting and praying night and day for the Lord to give me strength.
That's right.
Can you see how important this is?
Hallelujah.
But we all sometimes want to have something which can be seen. You be what you're supposed to be.
Amen.
If God has given you the ability to pray, if God gives you a gift of faith, then you can enter into a certain place to believe on behalf of other people for
Amen.
Other people can't believe. Don't boast about it.
Amen. No.
Because that person can do things that you can't do.
Yes, sir.
Consecrate yourself to the mission that God has
given
you. Realize God is blessing you. God is confirming this commission. Why do you want to have a
counselor?
And when you find this presence is anointing
Hallelujah.
Aspect of your life, whenever you start getting near to that thing inside of your life, there's a reality, there's a vision, there's a supernatural something that takes place inside of your soul. Why do you want to go look for your inheritance? God's showing you your boundaries.
That's right.
Our great Joshua Christ is dividing inheritance. He's showing you your parcel of land that you're supposed to raise wheat. You're supposed to raise sheep.
Amen.
You're supposed to raise corn. Your toes dipped in oil. All the different things. And every single one of us have a place. And the Holy Ghost reveals it.
Amen.
And it's not going to be something all the days of your life you're leading in a certain direction. Then all of a sudden, sometime, you change completely 180 degrees and you find that this is what God wants me to be. The prophet says God's going to use you the way that He needs you.
Amen.
God's going to use you the way that He's been leading you. He says it in that same answer. Let me put it down. He says, when somebody comes to me the way that I normally judge those situations and advise people, I look first at how did God make the person? What kind of a nature do they have? Do you think I'm ever going to come and thank them?
When you get out on the street, then someone says, boo, do you feel like it? But other people, they keep on standing there, writing that verse in a big crowd of people, an angry group of people. And that person can stand there and say, you crucified Christ, you sons of perdition. I think everybody's making that kind of role. Like I said, like Paul, you get beaten by stones, and troas. And the believers have to come and pray for you. You're dead. Imagine the bruises, imagine the cuts, imagine the pain the man was in. The fractured ribs, whatever that it was. And Paul gets up from there. Okay, Paul, I think you're going to take a bit of time before you come back to this place. Next chapter is preaching.
Amen.
Not everyone can do that.
Amen.
God has to make a man like that.
That's right.
There has to be something God instills in someone right from their genetics.
That's right.
And God allowed your mother and father to come together, your grandmother and your grandfather. God was directing things down a certain line.
Amen.
To bring about a certain...
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
A certain material. And then God combines that now with what He's allowed you to go through in your upbringing. You find people that have never struggled with sickness, they'll never ever pray successfully for the sick.
Sorry.
The prophet had to be sick in the days of his youth. He had to lose his eyesight. He had to have the sour stomach. He had to see his daughter die with crossed eyes of meningitis. He had to see those things so that when now he entered into his condition, there was a compassion. There was a feeling.
Amen.
But someone who's always been healthy all their life, but not they'll say to a sick person, you don't have faith.
Yeah.
You don't have faith to be healed.
That's right.
No.
That just shows that's not your calling.
Amen. No.
Because the way that God trained you up doesn't match together with what you claim that you're supposed to be. But if you look back, if you have spiritual eyes, look back at your life. Look back at the things God took you through.
Amen.
Look back at your background. Maybe you are born in poverty like the prophet.
Amen.
That you went to school without shoes on your feet. Or you went with your toes sticking out of your shoes. You're sitting in school with a coat on because you don't have a shirt and it's hot. And the teacher says to you, buddy, what's wrong with you? Take off your coat. He said, I'm feeling a little bit cold. Then she says, God said, I want to put us into the fire.
That's right.
But friends, who were the people that he most successfully ministered was the poor.
Hallelujah.
When he went to Arkansas and he has his 8-day prayer line, it's the poor people. Somebody just sent a cow, the last of their cattle, to fund their way to come from to the prayer line.
Amen.
The prophet could enter into the feelings of
those Hallelujah.
People. And friend, this was all summarized in the greatest one of all.
Amen.
He had to come and be a man like us.
Yes, sir.
So that he can be a sympathetic, compassionate high priest. He had to experience sickness. He had to experience rejection. He had to experience what it was like to be shunned by society. A questionable birth. Your father was a Samaritan and you have a devil. Look at all that he went through. Then he goes through countless other things. That's why we have to summarize it. Like the brother said those years back, 90% of what a person goes through is not for themselves, it's for the ministry.
Amen.
That's true. God is in all things, friends.
That's true.
He predestines your footsteps. Even those hardships and abuse in your youth. You'll find that a mother has a baby that baby died. She can't understand, she's heartbroken. If she'll just put that in the hands of Christ, she has now a capacity, a potential inside of her that she can minister to people who are in a like situation in a way that nobody else can. That time there was the prayer line and there was the mother and she had a sick baby and she was waiting, sitting between the meetings, ready to go for the prayer line. And then there was this other little mother sitting there. The prophet is just a handmaid of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him, gave a burden inside of her heart and said, go and pray for that lady's baby. And she said, but why should I pray? Brother, I'm just going to pray for the sick tonight. And that burden became so strong that she went and said, I really do have a burden. Would you mind if I just pray for your baby just to release this burden? And she went and she prayed for the baby. Then the mother went up in the prayer line in the evening and the prophet came under discernment and said, your baby's healed. And when it was healed, it was when that lady over there prayed for
me.
Amen.
And he explained it to her, I couldn't enter into the same feeling. I'm not a mother, I don't have a baby.
Amen.
But because she's a mother, she could enter into that certain place.
Hallelujah.
To offer that prayer of faith.
Amen.
Oh,
God made a mistake in the things you went
through. No.
Some people, they look back and they so regret their past. But you will take that and put that in the hands of Christ. That can be something so supernaturally charged by God that God can use you in the lives of people because of their past in ways that He can use nobody else. He knows what he's doing for
us. Amen.
But when you get out of the spirit, you start to think that, why did it have to be like this? Why did God allow me to go through this when I was young? What are you trying to say? Or you, the clay, trying to say to the potter, why did you make me thus? Doesn't make sense. Surely the potter knows the clay.
Yes,
sir. How much pressure it can take.
Amen.
How many times around the wheel. After that comes into the fashion. Amen. That it's just the vessel that he wants to use. Amen. And then he fills it and he uses it for his glory. And he's the only one who knows how to do it. He's the only one. And if you look back inside of your life, friend, it's exactly the same.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Who you are, the way that God made you, and what he's taken you through, is all something that will point your attention.
Amen.
It's all something that will point you what God wants to use you for. Everything works together for good. You may have grown up like all the time in ministers' houses. Yeah? Growing up looking after ministers' families and visiting ministers, and you wonder why. And then one day you'll understand why.
Amen.
And everything works together.
Hallelujah.
They used to have the church at their house at first. Everything was for a
family.
Amen.
But you've got to take it and put it in his hands.
Yes,
don't
Lord.
Use your own ability. Don't try to push away. But when now the time comes that you hear the sound of the mulberry trees and you see that God is going before you, God wants you to do this, now you bestow yourself. And now you pour yourself into your condition. And God will confirm it against that. You're really, really missing it.
Amen.
You won't be consuming on this event. You know, one of the ways, like he's saying there, if you want to know if it's God or not, you'll win favor with God's people.
Yes, sir.
You will. You'll win favor with God's people. The Lord said to Abraham, I will make you a blessing.
Amen. Yeah.
And I will make your name great.
Amen.
You know, if we could just humble ourselves, friends,
amen.
There's unlimited way God can take us in our
talents. Amen.
Just be what you are. Just fulfill your own individual condition. It's unlimited how high God can raise you up spiritually if you can stay low and spiritually humble.
Amen.
Which is the key in all of these communities. So when the prophet went to Misha Walker, that was a sign that he wanted God to do with those people. He goes to a place that's foreign. He doesn't understand the worship. He doesn't understand the preaching. He doesn't understand the stickers of Jesus only on the bumpers. He doesn't understand a lot of things. But he just knows there's something about these people.
Amen.
And he goes out that night and he's praying. And he says, Lord, grant me favor with these people. He comes back the next day. There was a young minister on the pulpit last night. William Branham by name. He wanted me to come and give the morning message. God is behind everything.
Amen.
He was praying, Lord, give me favor with the people. Out of all the 1,500 ministers or whatever they were, they chose him.
Yes, sir.
To come and give the morning message. He hides down in our lives. It's like how God dressed like this. Man, they don't care how you dress. Finally gets up there, his ears are burning red, his face is red. He doesn't even know how to use a microphone. He just opens his mouth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's when God confirms the commission.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God wanted him to have favor.
Amen.
Amen.
And God wants you to have favor with these people and anoint you. He'll do something which will minister to the souls of those people.
Amen.
You don't have to fight the battle yourself. He will fight the battle for you.
Amen.
Because nothing will hold them back. And he says that there, he says, I happen to turn over to Luke. As a rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and I took my text and really cried. He says, and I got to talking, and I said, the rich man down in hell, there was no church, and he cried. No children, and he cried. And like we said before, the reason the prophet God led him to that message was because when he was a young boy, he went to that place.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
And he was shot through the legs.
Amen.
He found himself sinking down, and he says, I came to a place and I cried.
Amen.
I cried for my mother.
My.
But my mother wasn't there.
Amen.
I cried out to God, but God wasn't there.
Amen.
Now he gets in the pulpit.
He doesn't know what to preach. His eyes just fall on that text.
Amen.
The rich man cried out from hell.
Amen.
Whereas the prophet could enter into that message. Like
hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
He was speaking from experience.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He was speaking of something he had been through himself. And that's another key, friends.
Amen.
Preaching from experience is a powerful
thing. Amen.
There's something about your own testimony, something about your own experience.
Amen.
Don't try to share things, witness things, evangelize things that are not real to you.
Amen. Amen.
If Christ and His love is not real to you, if the cross is not real, if the blood is not real, don't go on the streets and try to evangelize.
Amen.
Because unless it's first real to you, you can't make it real to
yourself. Right.
If you want to be a help to your Sunday school class, get in the spirit of the lesson that you teach.
Amen.
Let it be real to you first.
Amen.
Let it be something that burns inside of you, something that's precious to you. Then when you come now, it's going to be like fire in your bones. It's going to be something supernatural in the natural. It's going to unfold itself. That's what the prophet says. If you don't know what else to say to somebody, tell them how.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's right.
Because that's real to you. That's
yes,
your
sir.
You were there. It happened to you. That's why Paul, when he had come to a stage, he was challenged by according to his ministry. What will he do? He'd go back to the Damascus Road. People might have said, Paul, you've disqualified yourself. Paul, you're abusing the law. Paul, all these kind of things. You're not fit to be a minister. He said, okay, I don't understand all those things. But one thing I know, one day,
hallelujah.
I was going up to Damascus,
amen.
Road,
amen.
And they came a light.
Amen.
And that light commissioned me. And ever since that light came, I've never been the same.
Amen.
Everything changed me that day.
That's right.
And then I was in my room praying that day, wondering, I was supposed to preach in the city. And the same one that spoke to me from the light came walking into the room and said, Paul, do not fear to preach here. I have many people
here. Amen.
Amen.
Personal testimony. Now what God makes real to you. We all get threatened by verses. I'm going to Brother Crosby in a couple of weeks' time to preach. You feel intimidated sometimes, but Brother Crosby is a great preacher of faith.
Mm.
You know, he likes to preach the faith message. Then me, I'm going with my little slingshot. So. But I've learned now, friends, just be yourself. Just be yourself. Maybe not try to preach his messages. Amen. Just go and wait upon the Lord and just go and do the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is upon my heart. That's the best thing to do.
That's right.
And normally you find gold and share with people the things that are fresh to you at that time.
Amen.
Whatever God's dealing with you at that time. If you wake up in the morning and you read your Bible and the Lord speaks something to you and it's a blessing to you, then you get an opportunity to go and fellowship with the saint during the day. What better thing to do?
Amen.
Speak of the fresh manna. That manna that was delivered to you that day.
Amen.
That manna, why did God come and shine upon that day?
Amen.
The same reason maybe that God allowed you to meet that person.
Amen.
You might think it's so simple, but you'll find in that simplicity, that'll be exactly what that person needed to do.
Amen. Amen.
You might have wanted to say some great mysterious something which would be your will. But God has come and placed His name, has overshadowed a certain portion of something for a reason. Just follow that leadership.
Yes,
amen.
That's the best thing.
Hallelujah.
God will come from.
Amen.
So the prophet says in Bishop Walker, everybody was blessing God. So it says, the next thing I knew, I was out in the yard. I don't know what happened. And everybody was blessing God and carrying on, the congregation screaming and shouting. I don't know what I did. I just lost myself somewhere.
Amen.
That was the conversation.
Amen.
And then the people started to come. First thing you know, up came a great big fellow from Texas. A big 10-gallon hat on, cowboy boots. It's insane. He was an evangelist. Yes. How about coming down Texas and holding me in fire? And then he gets a whole diary full of invitations to God. That's a response from the body. That's a response from the fivefold ministry.
That's right.
Amen.
He's not trying to do something. He's trying to just be himself. And it's the right person at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Amen.
The Lord went before the mountain trees, and the prophet followed what the Lord wanted him to do.
Amen.
And God did the rest. That's the way that it's supposed to be.
Hallelujah.
Because you come down to this thing a little bit about Samson's commission. Now, Samson's a real good example of what a commission really is.
Amen.
A commission is a person in the will of God.
Amen.
Doing what God
allow them to be born to do.
That's what the condition. The prophet says, speak the name Samson among the Philistines. They will get nervous.
My.
Because he was an anointed servant of God. He was born with a Nazarite gift. If you're born with a Nazarite gift, you need yourself something. Born with a Nazarite gift. And they knew there was nothing that could stop that Nazarite gift. That's what I say. As long as Samson was consecrated to his commission, he was omnipotent.
Amen.
They closed the gates of Gaza, those big gates. But they could shut him now. The man is this commission. The gates of Gaza aren't going to stop him. That's again, at this time we've got him. We've bound him with withes, with ropes. And we've got 1,000 of our soldiers there. That's nothing to a man in his condition.
Amen.
That's nothing to a man walking in the presence of God, because it says the Spirit of God came upon him.
Amen.
And he broke those bonds.
Amen.
And he took an old jawbone of an ass.
Hallelujah.
And he smote 1,000 of them.
Amen. Amen.
That's a serious thing. And listen how the prophet says about it, just to show how he's speaking about the commission. He says, that was some supernatural strength.
Amen.
When he struck that warrior on the head, the thing dented in, those big helmets, dented in and killed him instantly. Right hand, left hand he struck. And every time he struck, the power of God struck me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's a commission. Every time he struck, the power of God, it wasn't what he was doing. It wasn't his hand. It wasn't strength in the jawbone. It was the power of the commission. It was the anointing, the power that God had invested in his servant in the commission. That was the thing that dented those helmets. That was the thing that spoke to the right. So that's a real practical demonstration of what the commission is. And that's why he said to Joshua, he said, no man will be able to stand before all the days.
Hallelujah!
I will never leave you. I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. As long as just meditate on the Lord, Lord, don't turn to the left hand or the right. Just stay in this channel that I open up for you. Nothing will stand before you. You or God will possess your life. And that's what you want to do. Okay, let's finish with the general commission. Since there's things you might focus on your individual calling, what it is that you feel the God wants you to do in the body of Christ. Whatever, how humble it may be, it's just as important as anyone else. But there's certain things that we really, really, as individual, this principle we need to learn is that when God is doing something, when you share the sound in the mulberry trees, every single one of us need to act.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Certainly. The first one, when God starts to move in his church.
Amen.
When God starts to pick in his people. When you see God wanting to do something. Now, we all have a general commission there.
Hallelujah.
Every single one of us.
Hallelujah.
We have now an obligation, which is the commission to pray.
Amen.
Every single one of us now are duty bound. When we share the sound in the mulberry trees, to stir ourselves up to pray for God's blessing. To pray for God's anointing upon the minister. Pray for God's blessing upon the
family.
Pray for God's blessing upon the musicians. Pray for God's blessing upon the rest of the ministry. Pray for God's blessing upon the youth, upon the singers. That God will continue to move at that
time. Amen.
Because God is doing something. There's a rustling in the mulberry tree.
Yes, sir.
Friends, we don't leave it to anybody else.
No.
No.
If this is our church, every single one of us has this commission. It's not my commission only. Or Brother Eli, Brother Ugo, Brother David's commission, Brother Max, or the song leader. Every single one of us, when you can sit, there's a wrestling in the mulberry tree. Every single one of us, don't just live your normal life at that time. Maybe on a Sunday, get a hold of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
See God's blessings.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you see a rustling in the mulberry trees amongst our youth, friends, let's not just take it for granted.
No, no.
At such a time as that, when we see there's a certain fertile spiritual season, God's starting to do something he wasn't doing before.
Amen.
Let's act. Let's bestir ourselves. ourselves like David at that time. Let's see what we can do. If you can't do something practically, you can get on your knees and you can call upon the name of the Lord. You can put your sins under the blood. You can make unity with all the children and unity in the church. There's many things that we can bestir ourselves with that kind of
desire.
There's so many things under the general commission that we're going to do. Not just going out and evangelizing either. But friends, at certain seasons when there's a sound in the
room, hallelujah.
Saints should be out evangelizing as well.
Amen.
We should be out doing something for the Lord. Brother Greg's been going out himself, giving our tracts. And we should, if people have got that kind of a burden, we should be supporting whatever that is.
Amen.
Praying for the people. Whatever other things that are required at that time. Supporting in any way.
Amen.
Is that not true, saints?
Yes, amen. Sir.
Because when that angel came down in the waters, there was a supernatural sign.
Amen.
There was a time, it was a time of fertility spiritually. It was a time things were productive spiritually. If you bestirred yourself quickly at that time and plunged yourself in, friend, you could do so much more.
Hallelujah.
In a short space of time. And at normal times, it would take you a long time to do.
Right.
That's how it is when you sense the season. When you sense God is doing something here.
Amen.
And you stir yourself up to do it. Now, friends, the devil at those times, he wants to come to Mr. Connell and Mrs. Connell, believer.
Yes, sir.
He wants to stir them up as well. Mm. He wants to bestir them to gossip. He wants to bestir them to disunity. He wants to bring troubles in the home, sickness for the children. That's the devil. Mm. He's got to do it, and he's doing his job. But friends, it's our commission.
Amen.
And we step forth in the power of that commission. He said, no man will stand before you.
Amen.
There's authority that comes in. What about when the Lord starts stirring the life of an individual?
Yes, sir.
You find God brings a new person in. And you can see the Lord is dealing with this person.
Amen.
Friend. When Ruth came to the fields of Boaz, she felt very strange. She dressed different than the rest of the people. She was a Moabite. She spoke different than the rest of the people. Maybe her diet was a little bit different than the rest of the people. And you know what was God's grace to her? But there was a man named Boaz.
Yes. Hallelujah!
There was a man who took a personal interest in her.
Thank you, Lord.
And to the rest of these maidens here, who are gleaming in my field, they're not encouraging her. Mm. So he himself went. When he showed the psalm and the rhythm of the Jesus, see, the Spirit of God is dealing with this person. He didn't leave it to somebody else. He himself went to say a word of encouragement. He well went and said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. I've heard of your testimony, what you're doing for your mother-in-law. Look, whatever you need, if you need water, please come and drink. If you need food, I've commanded them to give you food, friends. Let's not be selfish as believers.
Amen.
When you first came to the Lord, there were people that helped you.
Amen. That's true.
Confused and lost, but there was someone God put in my
life. Amen.
That the day that I received Christ, the next day I've always given the testimony. There was a guy in the hospital, a Pentecostal, PJ, Peter John Patrick, became my best friend, Brother David met him once. And he came to me the day after I gave my heart to the Lord in a big campaign. And he saw me. And he came to me, he came down the stairs and he shook my hand and he said, congratulations, you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Those are the first words he ever said to me.
Amen.
And he took me now to church. He invited me to his room, he explained the Bible. I've always said, oh, you don't know, Gideon's New Testament, went to church the first Sunday, they're preaching about Samson. I'm trying to find Samson in my Gideon's New Testament. And that's how ignorant I was. But there was somebody there. Says,
hallelujah.
Let me show you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Friend, you need people like that. You need people like that. People are leaving service on the way to a meeting. You need someone to join with them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Someone who can go and spy and see the right thing. Amen. Someone who can say something to encourage that person. Friend, that is a very powerful ministry.
Amen.
That is a very powerful part of the commission. We need people to do that.
Amen.
But sometimes we hear of it, I hear of it, that somebody new came and they thought, when they left out, they stood outside of their own level. No, it's not an hour to be like that.
Amen.
Don't leave it to somebody else.
No.
If you notice the need, if you see the need, God has commissioned you to
do it. Amen.
Amen.
Even just a kind word. Or some people are given to the gift of hospitality to invite somebody along.
Amen.
Because, friends, five words said personally to someone are often more effective than 50 words said from the book.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Because it's personal. You're addressing that person personally. Now, they may have a question, they don't understand something. They may not have understood a lot of the preaching. But just a few words personally can bring it to the world. Can shine light upon that person, or can encourage them to come back next time. Friends, that's part of the commission we all need to be faced with.
Hallelujah.
That's not just my commission or the deacon's commission or anybody else's commission. That's the commission of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Just as much as we all called to the great commission to evangelize. Every one of us to go into all nations. Preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
So friend, every Ruth needs a Boaz.
Amen.
Every Ruth needs someone who can come and take them out of the wind and say, blessed be all you, you come and put yourselves under the wings of Jehovah. And what Boaz says. Friends, it's a very, very important part of this. And I'll finish off with this. When you find the Lord, there's a rustling in the mulberry tree, and God is dealing with one of your children. Okay.
Amen.
Don't just be a normal mother and father. Now, sometimes we do that. You find the young one saying, I'm really thinking about mommy, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking maybe to be baptized. And then they make a mistake in the home. And you say to them, you said you wanted to be baptized. You said, look at it, you shouted at your sister. When there's a wrestling in the world, which is more careful.
That's right.
It's not going to make the mistakes as children. They're not yet born again. But they started to speak of things they never spoke of before.
That's right.
They're starting now to feel a pull to something you never felt a pull to before.
Amen.
Don't handle the situation just like any other situation. No, that's a commission. Now, as a parent, you move into the higher realm of your commission.
Amen.
In the spiritual realm as the priest, or you're the mother of the house. And you realize, but this is wonderful. The rustling may be ever so faint. But friend, when you see that God is dealing with somebody, surely it's part of our commission as the body of Christ. To try to feed into that.
Amen.
To try to multiply that which God is doing. To try to increase the depth of the atmosphere and the anointing at that time. Our friends, I think that each and every one of us.
Hallelujah.
Let's be faithful to the
Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to bring one more before we get on to the next one. When the church is engaged in building the church.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You all get involved.
Amen.
Amen.
Every single one of us. We now throw ourselves body, soul, spirit,
Amen.
Out. Everything into the church.
Amen.
We don't do things as before. When there's a rustling in the mulberry tree, and we see that God wants us to establish him a place of worship, and he gives us an opportunity to use our resources naturally, spiritually, financially, friends, we'll be like David, we now bestow us.
Amen.
We don't just act like normal times. We don't just give like at normal times. Now we give in abundance.
Amen.
Now we say this is a season. This is a fertile season.
Amen.
For us to invest ourselves in the kingdom of God. So we pour ourselves into that.
Amen.
So I'm giving a warning about you.
Amen.
Brother Mike said something so good at the men's meeting the other day. He said, brother, he says, I've been 30 years in my message, listening to different message preaching. He says, this is the only church I've ever been in when I don't preach about money.
Okay.
I said, very good. Everything has its season.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We didn't need to preach about it before.
Sorry.
My friends, now we need to preach about it. I have upon something for the Lord. So if there's new people who come next week and I say, this is like any other church. They preach just about money, friends. We started this church in 2009. We gave you 16 years of preaching.
Amen.
Give us a little season to preach about money.
Amen.
But the most important resource we need is the hearts of the people.
Amen.
Is that we realize that he's giving us a commission to establish something for himself. That this great Joshua, under the Joshua commission, he wants us to do something. But our friends, there's plenty we can do in this commission. And if you do it with all our hearts, see how he'll bless us. See how he'll multiply our resources. See how he'll multiply our authority. See how he'll make himself more real. See how he'll fight our battles.
Hallelujah.
Our enemies. See how he'll bless them that bless us and curse them that curse us. I'm looking forward to.
Amen. Let's worship Him. And as you worship Him, you know where you are as an individual. You know where the wrestling in the world of truth is. And might be the Lord's just stirring your heart, saying, believe in me. Today is your day. Go today. Bestir yourself like David. When the waters are in trouble, plunge in. And you receive the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Let's sing that song again. We are here to pray. To lift our hands. The real song you can listen to is to lift our hearts, the hands of God. To lift our hearts and our hands. And sing.
Will not come in.
Jesus, you're my Lord, a sweet aroma of worship rises from your throne.
A heart that beats compassion,
a heart that beats compassion, that pleases you, my Lord, a sweet aroma.
Troubling of the water in your life. There's a rustling in the mulberry trees. There's a certain supernatural something. There's something that's speaking to you and it's telling you that you need to repent. That you need to make your life right. That you need to accept Jesus, our great Joshua in your life. You know, there's many things that you've done wrong, many regrets that you've got. Many things that you wish you could undo, my friend. Jesus paid the price. Jesus got the chance.
Amen.
Thank you. Lord is waiting for you to do it. As He offers you a pardon today, He just wants you to accept that pardon. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That then whosoever will believe in Him, not just to believe in Him historically, but believe in Him personally, in your own personal circumstances in life. To believe in Him that He is the answer to your current situation.
Amen.
He's the Savior of your soul. He's the healer of your body. He's the one who can rewrite your life.
Amen.
Mercy today can rewrite your life.
Hallelujah.
It can be a new beginning.
Thank you, my Lord Jesus.
Because the Bible says if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Hallelujah.
All things have passed away. He takes all the sins of your past and He throws them into the blood, into the sea of His forgetfulness. And He says, your sins and your iniquities, I remember them no more. Oh, if that's your desire, I want to raise your hand and say, Jesus, that's what I need to do. I need you to forget, Lord. Lord, I can't forget, but you can. I need to repent before you. It's wrong what I did. Lord, inside of my heart, I have this godly sorrow for my sin. He sees your heart. He'll forgive your peace. May the Lord bless you for that. If there's anybody else here today and you sense there's a rustling in the trees and you know that there's something that the Lord is wanting you to do, maybe you've been holding back. Maybe you haven't been doing it with all your heart. My friend, the time has come. The time has come to draw your sword. The time has come to fight through 15 miles of Philistines. To go and get a fresh drink of water from the well of Bethlehem for our great rejected King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for us to do exploits, my friends. It's time for us to step out beyond our comfort zone. To step out into the fullness of what He's calling us to be and to do. And if you're desiring to do that, raise your hand and say, Jesus, I respond to you. Quicken me, O Lord. Quicken me, Lord. Father, give me the supernatural strength that you gave to Samson. That, Lord, when my hand goes forth in your service, that as my hand goes forth, your hand goes forth with mine. Oh, let's put our hands in the hands of the one who calmed the waters today. Whatever your desire before the Lord, the best thing that you can do is cry out to the Lord. The best thing that you can do, speak to the rock. Speak to Him yourself today. Whatever way that you pray, let's all come to a time of prayer. Let's seek His face.
Father, we return to the Father. come and sing. Father, Lord God, Lord, how good it is, Lord, to have the apostles, Lord, to have the overman, Lord, to have that Joshua commission, Lord, and you can place us positional, Lord, Father, in the body of the ground. Father, Lord, the Son, Lord, God, you give all of us ministry in various ways. Father, the Son, Lord,
Oh!
Lord, to make a way for me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We can see if we are a bit spiritual, that you are unveiling something.
Amen.
We can see the way things, the way sermon after sermon, you are bringing us to another dimension. Heavenly Father, help us to be spiritual enough to jump into the water, oh Lord.
Amen.
While the angel is telling the water.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we have seen as you are leading us now, positionally into your body. Lord.
Yes.
Oh Lord, help us not to be distracted by the other things we do, but to walk according to your will, Lord, because you are placing your children. Heavenly Father, as a church, we can see that we are moving in another direction. The Great Commission. And every one of us has his role to play in fulfilling the commission, oh Lord. Some are called to stand on the pulpit, oh Lord. Some are called just not to be seen, oh Lord, but to do such much and powerful things in the background. Help me, help every one of us not to try and be like someone else, because it will just bring a havoc into the country. But help us be original and play our partition in the great play, oh Lord. Heavenly Father, we can see the way you are placing us, every one of us, oh Lord. When we can see Brother Mike doing what he's doing, oh Lord, serving your people tea and coffee after service, oh Lord, we can take it for granted. You can take it for something small, oh Lord. But your prophet said, you can adopt someone into the body as a mechanic. And you'll be helping your people being a mechanic. Help us as parents to play our role.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, help us as children to play our role.
Amen.
Help us as youth to play our role. Because you want to bring the whole body to be set to its position. Bless the pastor, because he has too many faithfully in his place, in his position, for Lord, to minister the word. We know as your child, you have brought him, O Lord, from where he was, O Lord, to this island, O Lord, to this garden, O Lord, to fit a place, O Lord. And we can you can recognize his position, O Lord, and help us. He may be our friend, O Lord. He may be our husband, O Lord. He may be our father, O Lord. But let us see him as your servant, O Lord. And pay heed to what he's saying. Because of that, O Lord, we be blessed.
Amen.
And let's see in each and each one another, oh Lord, as a son and daughter of God.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord. If we catch the vision, we know great blessings will fall. Help us raise into those dimensions, oh Lord, where you are blessing us. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand. Bless the visitors in our midst. You know the needs in their hearts, oh Lord. You know why you made them to come, oh Lord. We commit Sister Diana into your hands.
Amen.
We know she has a lot of needs. Some she may not have spoken, oh Lord, because there are things, intimate things, oh Lord, that we can't express, oh Lord. But Heavenly Father, you know. You can see the deepest of the hearts, oh Lord, and grant her, oh Lord, so that her joy can be perfect. We commit Sister Jessica into your hands, oh Lord. Seeing her back once again in this house, oh Lord, we know there's a deep in her, oh Lord, because she could have gone like many of those we have seen coming, oh Lord, and just say, this is a prison. I can't stand to this place, oh Lord. But she has come back, oh Lord. And we know there's a deep in her that wants to be filled, oh Lord. Fill her, oh Lord. Grant her according to her needs. Dear Lord, we commit the rest of the week into your hands, as we'll be dismissing from this place, oh Lord. Lead us, oh Lord. Bless the week, oh Lord. We know we have different ways we'll be going. Some to work, some to colleges, some to different places. some traveling, O Lord. Grant us your mercies so that we can see your hand leading us, O Lord. When you bring us back again next week to this place, we bless your name. We think of our sister Angel. Bless her, O Lord. Far away where she is, let your hand be with her. We think of Sister Sharon in London, O Lord. Bless her, Heavenly Father. And bring her safely back, O Lord. We think of God and Maxwell. Oh Lord, you know it's yourself. Let him come back safely, O Lord, and fit his place, O Lord, and fulfill the great commission, O Lord. We praise you, we thank you. Bless our youth, O Lord. We can see, O Lord, something, a fire, O Lord, burning in them. Heavenly Father, I remember the days of my youth, O Lord. You revealed yourself in my life, O Lord, and you made me to become what I am today. Reveal yourself to them, O Lord, and let it be an experience, O Lord, from which they will build their future, O Lord, and which will become, O Lord, a stepping stone, O Lord, to gather youth in this life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, we commit everything into your hand. Bless us, O Lord. Our project of building a church for your glory, O Lord, we commit it into your hand.
Amen.
We can feel, O Lord, that it's the season.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
We are talking about a lot of money, O Lord. Yes. We don't have that money now, O Lord.
Yes.
We don't have it in our minds, O Lord. In our hands, we don't have it, O Lord. But we know that you are more than gold and silver. You are the creator, O Lord. If you put, O Lord, out of nothing, O Lord, create this world that we see, O Lord.
Amen.
The Lord will provide. Money and gold is nothing compared to the life of Jesus. That's why we know and we believe that we will have that church for your glory. We will bless your children, O Lord. We will bless our jobs, O Lord. We will bless our trades, O Lord. We will bless our everything, O Lord. And the money will come, O Lord. We will even order, O Lord, fishes everywhere. Heal money, O Lord, for the construction of the temple of glory.
Yes,
we praise you, we bless you. Be with us as we dismiss. Bless your children in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And Saints, God bless you. Have a good week. Let's sing one more as we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Spirit of Elijah, turns us back. Come and drink of this cup. You will never thirst again. Oh,
I've had questions for tomorrow. There were times I did go right from wrong. Not in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. Let me know my trials only come to make me strong. Through it all,
through it all.
I'm